Half of the cabinet in Sook and I are privileged to stand before you, and we greet you in the name of our mighty God, our sweet Savior Jesus, and the Holy Spirit who transforms our lives. We feel privileged to have been able to serve this last year as the co-deans of the cabinet and are grateful for that opportunity. We were speaking just a moment ago and feel enormously blessed to be following preacher Bishop Palmer and teacher Sister Dean after what they've shared, because we got a mighty word this morning, didn't we? Somebody say amen to that. Let me invite you to join me in a declaration of faith this morning as we begin. I'll speak a word and then invite you to repeat it with the energy of your heart and of your soul. Say this with me. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Oh, my soul.
Oh, my soul.
And all.
And all.
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 Absolutely everything.
Absolutely everything.
That is within me.
That is within me.
Bless His name.
Bless His name.
Praise His name.
Praise His name.
Honor His name.
Honor His name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
In last year's address, if you don't remember, don't worry, we will remind you. There we referenced to a coaching approach for the cabinet's time with the annual conference. Watching the sporting scene, champions repeating has not been the normal experience. Although the college football team known simply as Alabama returned almost of their team from last year's championship play, the BCS crowned a new champion, as did Major League Baseball, the NFL, college basketball, and the NBA will crown someone new with the defeat of the Lakers. Pat Riley, then of the Lakers, coined the term 3-peat to describe his Laker dynasty. It was later used by the Chicago Bulls and then again by the Lakers. Repeating seldom happens though. Whether it is injury, change of personnel, retirements, or a lost edge in desire and execution, repeating is extremely hard. In the business world, staying on top is extremely hard because the competition sets their sights on becoming the best and aims for that goal. People enter marriage with a hope for a 50-year wedding anniversary. Parents strive to make life easier for their kids than they had. Grandpas and grandmas hope that the church they grew up in will be there for their grandchildren. Pastors leave seminary or course of study determined to set the world afire and, well, the stories, hope, and dreams could go on and on. Not every team wins the championship every year, but there are teams that win consistently. People that celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary, kids that actually do graduate from high school and college, and churches that lay the foundation for children and grandchildren to find and live out their faith, not grandparents' faith, but their faith in Jesus Christ. Those that are successful all have one thing in common. They have a plan. Most people don't plan to fail, but many fail to plan. Adapting, improvising, and overcoming all play that consistency. It's been written, said, and proved over time that leaders keep the vision before the people on a regular basis. Some say weekly or bi-weekly, while others mention every 6 to 8 weeks. Some raise that vision daily before their employee or staff. Why? There is so much happening. It's moving so fast, and it's changing so rapidly that not keeping constantly before us what we are striving to accomplish, we will not necessarily despair, but will simply lose sight of what the main thing is in and for our lives. In kingdom matters, maintaining doesn't really exist. We are either moving forward or sliding backward. The world is growing in numbers and changing rapidly. For us to celebrate, we have the same number attending worship this year as last year, translates into God's kingdom losing ground. It's bigger than bragging rights for attendance. It's bigger than survival issues for my church. It's greater than someone paying attention to just me. I am called out to serve the living God. The God is not out there, but God who engages in my life on a daily basis. As in Bishop's words, I am marked by the sign of the cross. I am absolutely convinced that Jesus died on a cross and was raised on the third day. I am committed to serving and honoring a God who loves people while they are yet sinners. And I am enthralled with the presence of the Holy Spirit who can help me grow into peace, real peace, Jesus peace.
Honestly and realistically, friends, we're not at the break-even point, but we're really, really close. I like to play with numbers. And I was playing with that little pink sheet they hand out to us. And if in our 869 churches, if every church would have gained just 2 new members last year over what they did, we would have broke even. If every church would have had just 1.5 persons more in attendance in every one of our churches last year, we would have broke even. Do you know how close we are? How close we are? I believe with all of my heart there's still a place in every person's heart, that will only be filled by the presence of God. I hate losing. I'm a sore loser. When I was playing basketball, I tried to shake hands graciously, but I'm a sore loser. If it's shaking hands with the enemy, I won't do it. I'll walk off the court and find some way to beat him the next day or the next hour. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is about life and death issues for folks. I'm committed and we're committed as a cabinet to doing whatever it takes, whatever's involved to bring us to a place where people can hear the good news about God's love and grace in our lives. I'm not blowing smoke. I'm not just using about a bunch of rhetoric this morning here that might get an amen, which it hasn't got yet. But I'm convinced this ought to get an amen. Nothing is impossible with God. Amen, church?
Amen.
We need to keep before us in our daily lives and in our family lives, in our church lives, those things that will help others find that relationship with God by faith in Jesus Christ. We've been capturing and using a word, sustainability, recently. I returned from a conference in Dallas in late February or early March, and we were looking at sustainability in terms of health insurance and pension. Now, hear me clearly. Those are vital conversations, wise conversations to be having, sustainability in terms of our resources. And we need to have those. In my mind, I'm thinking sustainability in terms of how many figs are on the fig tree, though, to be real honest about it. We're growing figs every year. But are we producing as many figs as we need to be producing? Are we strong enough, wise enough, passionate enough for Jesus that we can sustain fruitfulness relative to new brothers and sisters' names being written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Now that winds my key. That gets me excited. Here's what we want to remind you of. Insook already alluded to that. We are very intentionally, if you think by the time we finish this morning, you will have heard bits of this or pieces of this from last year's cabinet address or the gist of what we're saying from previous year's cabinet addresses, you are exactly right. We are intending to say it over and over and over again till it gets so deeply into our hearts and our souls, we don't have to think about it. We're just going to do it. We want to remind you year after year and every opportunity that we have who we are and what we're about.
First, our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We do so by proclaiming the goodness of God's grace and by exemplifying Jesus' command to love God and neighbor. We seek, welcome, and gather persons into the body of Jesus Christ. We lead individuals to commit their lives through baptism by water and the Spirit and the profession of faith in Jesus Christ. We nurture them in Christian living through worship, the sacraments, spiritual disciplines, and other means of grace. And we send these committed disciples into the world to live lovingly and justly as servants of God. This process of living out the church's mission is ongoing and ever in need of attending in a constantly changing world. Second, we live by two kinds of holiness, personal and social, both inward and outward. We are not talking about a holier-than-thou way of thinking and living. We are talking about disciples whose lives are so marked by inward wholesomeness and unparalleled devotion to God in Christ that their outward actions and personal witness reflect God's light and love and thus draw others to Christ. To be holy means to be obedient to the great commandment, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself.
The third thing we want to remind you of, and it's really simple, is the three simple rules. You know those. What is number one? Do no harm. Number two is?
Do good.
And number three is?
Stay in love with God.
Folks, if we can somehow capture those and get those from our head down into our heart, that which Sister Dean spoke of this morning will happen not only in our own hearts and souls, but for those who are outside of the walls this morning that need to hear that good news about Jesus Christ. The fourth thing that we want to remind you of and keep constantly in front of you, and our brother last night spoke of these four in his presentation as he shared with us, and that is the gifts that we have being connected as the United Methodist Church. 11.5 million people striving together to raise $75 million to make a huge change impact in somebody else's life in this world. That's the blessing of being United Methodist. Again, the General Conference of 2008 called us around the world to focus on these ministry efforts and these four areas. Number one was to develop principled Christian leaders for the church and also for the world. The second one was to create new places for people and renew existing congregations. The third foci was engaging in ministry with the poor. And the fourth one, and we are living that out, we've been celebrating that since we got here. The fourth one is working to stamp out killer diseases of poverty by improving health globally. Let me tell you this morning, I'm United Methodist today by choice. And I'm going to be United Methodist today tomorrow by choice, because I want to be. I believe in what we're doing. Anybody say amen to that?
Fifth and finally, as a way of ensuring our effectiveness as congregations, we actively hold ourselves accountable to strive to be at our best in five identified practices. Fruitful congregations, that is, those congregations who are effective in carrying out their disciple-making mission, consistently are strong in five areas. Those practices are radical hospitality, passionate worship, intentional faith development, risk-taking mission and service, extravagant generosity. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. These are the basic elements of the United Methodist way. One mission, two forms of holiness, three simple rules, four areas of focus, and five fruitful practices. This is a way of life, a way of life that sets the course and shapes everything that we feel, think, and breathe. This is our identity as the body of Christ and the fundamentals of what John Wesley called scriptural Christianity. Your bishop and cabinet pray that every pastor and congregation in this conference will not just be studying these basic elements of the United Methodist way, but that you will be practicing them in the life of your congregation and as well as holding yourselves accountable. These are the basics of the United Methodist way. The overarching purpose of superintending is to continue to equip the church in disciple-making ministry. In rapidly changing times, constant evaluation is needed with nimble, rapid course corrections as necessary.
Last year, we said a couple of things to you. Number one, we planned for last year and this year to streamline the assessment process. And by your own feedback, we have done that, not reaching perfection, but we've accomplished that in many ways. The second thing that we lifted up to you last year was to begin prayer and fasting on the first Thursday of every month. And we coined the name First Thursdays to accomplish that. We have heard stories of some young person who left this annual conference last year, went home to the Six Point parish that she was a part of, and by Sunday morning had someone from every point on that church committed to pray and fast for the next year. Tom Allen was with us last fall in a cabinet retreat and shared with us from the General Board of Discipleship in Nashville. They have heard about First Thursdays as well as other annual conferences hearing about First Thursdays, and they are engaging in some of that own prayer and fasting work because of the thought that was generated, and we are grateful to God to be partnered in that kind of ministry. Now, as we think about this year, here's what our thoughts are. Number one, First Thursday is not a fling, and it's not a momentary exercise. And so we're calling you again to continue that prayer and fasting, dear friends, for revival in the church, for the Holy Spirit to flow, for things to change, for us to honor and glorify God. And sure, you're going to be seeing continually in the resources of the current and on the web pages and the emails, resources, again, for First Thursdays, that we can continue to do this work. Now, it's been just kind of an all holy God moment over the last several days, because it's been months ago that we began to think about, and weeks ago that we began to talk about, a second piece that we were going to add to this. And that second piece was a very simple plan of bringing us to a place as an annual conference to read through the scriptures in a year. And by July the 1st, there will be, if you're already engaged in that and you're in the middle of that cycle, we don't want to interrupt that. But if you're not engaged in that, we're going to provide the resources for you once again through the current, through the emails, through the newsletters, wherever we can, that we can together begin to read through the scriptures, getting the word of God into our heart through this next year. Now, didn't have this conversation. Those of you that were at clergy session Wednesday afternoon when you heard Miriam Snyder give testimony, how the Word of God had shaped her and formed her, well, we didn't know that she was going to share that testimony. You heard the praise and the worship and the preaching from Bishop Woody White that night when he talked about foundational scriptures being a key part to our life. Yesterday morning, somebody sitting over here might have mentioned the word. Did anybody hear that conversation? As Bishop Palmer preached that about the word of God to us, and here we are. It almost sounds like collusion, but it's not. Well, the Holy Ghost collusion, maybe. The Holy Spirit working together to bind us together brings us to a place where we say that we believe if we can read the red and pray the power, something powerful is going to happen. I'm just naive enough to believe the book of Acts, where it said, and people were added to their numbers every day. It didn't say it once, it said it twice, and it said it over and over again, and our history as United Methodist gives that testimony. And I'm just naive to believe that can happen again today, if we'll read the red and we'll pray the power. Now, friends, I believe that the fields are still ready for harvest, and we need to continue working, not growing weary, from the passion of our souls to reap that harvest, sow those seeds, water, nurture, prune, to do whatever it takes for that Holy Ghost revival, that wind blowing, to break out once again. People finding Christ, growing in Christ, planting their own faith in somebody else. That's our prayer. That's our hope. That's our dream. That is our vision. And I say this morning, may it be so in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen.